Well, good day to you. My name is Ken, and I serve as the interim director for Toronto Baptist Ministries. TBM exists to encourage, strengthen, and equip our member churches and ministry leaders to work together to extend the mission of Christ into their wider community. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. If you have a Bible, I want to take you into the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 9, and also verses 18 to 23. Allow me to read it for you. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we begin today, I want to take you through this parable and sort of pull from it our understanding of how it applies to us today. There are a few things that we need to do. There's some background work in terms of what is a parable, and then we're going to look at some of the context. And of course, what we're grateful for is the very fact that Jesus already interprets this parable for us. And so as we go through that interpretation, we also need to figure out how it applies to us. So the first thing is this: what is a parable? At its simplest, the word parable is really split into two words, para and balo. It's the idea of to beside and to throw. And so a parable is the notion of to throw beside or to cast alongside. And one of the ways parables are used by Jesus is that he casts alongside this thing in order to compare it to this thing. And so parables are drawn from everyday human life, especially the experiences of people at that time. And mainly Jesus was always drawing a comparison to everyday life things and comparing it to what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven would be like. But why did Jesus speak in parables? One of the harsh things to hear is that in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, Jesus shares with his disciples why he speaks in parables. And he actually tells us this. He says, "I speak in parables to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So those who really want to know and those who really want to hear, it will be revealed to them." But the parables also serve another purpose. They serve to conceal the mysteries of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And so those who come with other intentions, those who really don't care to hear, they don't really want to know, it will blind them from really seeing the truths of God's kingdom. And so it's kind of harsh to think about Jesus this way, that he would actually say things to people to help them not understand at some point. And what do the parables really talk about? At the end of the day, the parables talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, in Matthew, when we hear the kingdom of heaven, it's the same thing as the kingdom of God. What Matthew is doing is just simply, he's being a very good Jewish person by not taking the Lord's name in vain. So he always identifies it as the kingdom of heaven. But what is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? What is that really? Well, at the end of the day, it's not. It's not about heaven being this place. It's not about salvation in those terms that we use in our churches. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is really about understanding the king, a king who reigns and rules and reigns and he rules and reigns rightly. And within the king, there is a kingdom that he controls, a kingdom that he oversees. And there are people who live in this kingdom. We are subjects of the kingdom. And there's people who live in agreement with the kingdom and the kingdom's values and the king. and there are others who don't live in agreement with the king, the kingdom, and its values. And so it's happening right now. It's happening since Jesus came on the scene 2,000 years ago, that he was going to show us a way to live and demonstrate the kingdom. He was going to be the full embodiment of this demonstration of God's kingdom, God's rule and reign, and God's kingdom values. But we also await the kingdom to its full and complete completion. And we will see that when Jesus comes again, when he returns again. And so, as disciples of Jesus, as the church of Jesus Christ, we play a role in this kingdom today. And so the parables always talk about some characteristic of the kingdom of God, or some characteristic of the king, or really the character of a kingdom person, a person who really has allegiance to the king. And so we want to continue to always kind of look at these various aspects of a parable. But one thing maybe we should not do is that we shouldn't look for a spiritual meaning to every single detail in a parable. It's not really meant for us to do that. And we also have to avoid the extreme of saying that there is only one spiritual truth in each parable. Context is always key. Who is Jesus speaking to? What was the intended audience? What was Jesus trying to accomplish with this parable? What lessons then can we learn from it? And especially, always allow Jesus to interpret the parables for you, especially when he gives you the interpretation. Parables, really, they are about Jesus, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus is going to do. And so we want to keep in mind, we're always looking out for maybe the character of the kingdom, the character of the king, and the character of kingdom people. So for this particular parable that we're looking at today, we will begin by looking at this context here. See, Jesus began his ministry of preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. However, he did not always find a receptive audience. And as we look at the context, we find that just before this in Matthew 11, he performs this miracle for people, but the people at that point didn't repent. They didn't believe it. They didn't want to turn from their ways. In Matthew chapter 12, we have this crowd following Jesus. And not only are they following him, but they're following him for a purpose, is that they were plotting against Jesus. And so it's here in Matthew 13 that we find that Jesus begins to speak in parables. And so what Jesus is confronting is the problem that many people, they had ears to hear, but whether or not they really wanted to hear. Did the message, was it going to fall on deaf ears? Would they understand it? Not so, because many people's hearts were hard at that time. So it's in this context that Jesus uses this parable of the sower to further the illustration of this message. That through the parable, Jesus illustrates the different reactions to hearing the message of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And so it's my hope today that as we hear this, a life that hears and obeys demonstrates a kingdom person. A life that hears and obeys demonstrates a kingdom person. This is one of the few parables that we have that Jesus provides an interpretation for us. And it's a parable that you can also find in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, sorry, in Mark chapter 4, and also in Luke chapter 8. But for today, we're just going to stick with this Matthew passage. The explanation for us is really quite clear for us. It's given to us. The sower. We're not quite sure who the sower is in this parable. It's not really mentioned. And perhaps it's not really for us to spend so much time trying to figure out. It's just the sower sows seeds. He's throwing the seeds. And as they throw the seeds, they're doing what would be typically done in this agricultural society of that time. A sower would just go about, he's got this bag full of seeds, it's probably wheat, and he's just casting seeds along as he's walking on his field. And so as the seeds are being thrown, he's purposely throwing it where he wants it, but some of it will end up in different places. But the sower is not worried about those different places. The sower is doing the job, which is just throw out the seed. We're told something else, though. What is the seed? Well, the seed represents, in verse 19, a message about the kingdom, a message about the kingdom. And so it's here that we are reminded that a life that hears and obeys demonstrates a kingdom person. As the seed gets thrown out, as it gets cast alongside all over, the place, but there was a specific place that this seed was supposed to go. But we're also told of these various other places that these seeds would drop. And so Jesus explains it to us, the path. The path, he says, it's the place that represents the one who hears but does not understand. It's likened to a person who hears the message of Jesus and just doesn't understand or just doesn't want to understand. Maybe there's a friend or a family member that you've been trying to share Jesus with, and they just refuse to accept it. They refuse to believe it. They refuse to even hear it at times. A lot of times, this path is representative of people's hearts who have been hardened. And there's also another thing that comes as that this bird comes along and snatches the seed away, and it represents the evil one, or as we would say, Satan or the devil, who snatches the word from those whose ears are hardened. But you know what? I probably want to think about how many people really want to hear about Jesus. And I'm not even just talking about non-believers, I'm also talking about people who claim to be Christians as well. There are many of us who claim to love Jesus, but our hearts are hard to really hear the message of Jesus's kingdom. So that's something for us to consider. There's a second soil category here. It's the rocky place. It's the rocky places. And so with this group, this soil, this area, the word is given out. It's sown out there. It's thrown along there, and it represents those who hear the word and they receive it with joy. It says they receive it with great joy, but it only endures for a short time because it has no roots and it can't grow. And when trouble comes or when persecution comes, the person falls away quickly. So this is the one that represents like maybe those times where you've experienced spiritual aha moments. Maybe you've gone to a youth retreat or a conference or something where God showed up and you're like, oh, this is amazing. God is awesome. God is wonderful. And we're so excited. But then within a week or so, the hype dies down, the experience kind of fades into the background, and we're left with kind of this dull, drab feeling. And so again, they experience it and they hear the word of the kingdom, and there's joy and excitement to it. It begins, but something along the way just doesn't stick. And then when bad things happen, when the hardships of life happen, when the stresses or the burdens of life, or when things just don't go the way we want, or even worse, when people really when push comes to shove, are you really a Christian? Do you really believe that Christian mumbo jumbo? Do you really believe in this Jesus? Oh, but if you decide that you want to be a Christian, maybe I'm going to have to skip you over for that promotion, or maybe I'm not going to no longer be your friend, or maybe this relationship has to be terminated because you want to call yourself a Christian. Well, this is when the person then decides to walk away. They decide to walk away. We have this other soil then where the seed falls among the thorns, and it refers to someone who heard but doesn't bear any fruit. It doesn't bear any fruit, but what it does have is that all these other things grow around it, and it begins to choke the life out of this. And so what is that described as? It says the cares of the world, the deceit of wealth. In Luke, it says the pleasures of life. And so the word goes out and it takes root in these places, but there's also these other things that grow alongside it. And when these things override and they take number one precedence, we no longer this seed no longer is able to bear fruit. It's choked out by the cares of the world, the desires of the world, the things that, draw our eyes and draw our heart away from God. And so it bears no fruit. But a life that hears and obeys demonstrates a kingdom person. And so we're then told about this good soil. This good soil represents the one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit and produces. One of the things when you hear what Jesus is saying, he says there's a crop that and it produces a yield of 160 and 30 times what was sown. One of the things about Jesus' parables is there's this hyperbole to it at times. And with that, a farmer at that time, if they were to have a crop that yielded 10 times what was sown, that was considered a good crop. 30 was amazing. 100, that almost seemed impossible. And yet here it is that a person who has this, the soil that takes this word, who hears it and understands it, this is the one who produces a great crop. In Luke's passage in verse 15, chapter 8, verse 15, says the person that holds fast in honest and good heart, it bears fruit with patience. So there's this correlation of understanding and bearing fruit. So what are we supposed to understand, and what is this fruit that needs to be born? Well, some people say, well, maybe it's the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe it's the idea of growing in holiness. Maybe it's the idea of good works, or maybe it's the idea of thanksgiving. Perhaps it is, but maybe it's something else. See, a life that hears and obeys is what demonstrates a kingdom person. And a person that hears is the one that understands. See, Jesus is really concerned about this one piece, whether people hear. And a person who really hears follows through in what is oftentimes called active obedience. That is the fruit. A person who hears and understands, a person who hears and obeys and actively obeys, is the one who bears fruit. So for us, maybe we need to consider a few things. I know sometimes when we look at this, we're thinking not so much about ourselves, but we're thinking about everyone else out there. Oftentimes we think about, sharing the word of God with others and telling people about Jesus, and then there will be people that will hear him, and they will just don't want to have anything to do with him. They'll hear him for a little bit, they'll be excited, but then after so many years, they don't attend church anymore. Or we have people who, they hear Jesus and they love him, they embrace him, but then, the things of the world kind of get in the way. And then there are those who are the faithful Christians who continue to go to church week in and week out. I want to discourage you from hearing it that way today. I think one of the things that we have to hear is that the sower himself, he's casting the seed. There's a good purpose. He wants it in the right place, but he's willing to cast it no matter where. He doesn't go back and he starts to pick it off those other places that they shouldn't be. He's willing to cast this out everywhere. And so there is a recognition that there will be people of all different types who will hear this in a different way and will receive it in different ways. But my concern is, which soil are we, you and I? There is a discernment piece for you and I to really take to heart what Jesus is saying here. See, because for some of us, we really have to examine, are we like the path? Is our heart like the path? Where the word of the kingdom of God, we just don't want to really receive it. We've heard about Jesus, we hear about his kingdom, but we don't really want anything to do with it. But we still go to church every week. Our life just doesn't follow in obedience. We hear the word, but we don't produce the fruit of obedience to follow through on the word. Or maybe we're like the rocky place where we accepted Jesus with great excitement at the beginning, with great joy. But over time, things get tough. We don't bear fruit. We don't want to obey anymore. Obeying Jesus is just too hard. So we walk away. Or maybe we are like the thorny place where Jesus says, take this word and we hear it, we receive it, but then we become too preoccupied with the things of this world, with the materialism, the consumers, and all these other things become number one priority. Not the king, not Jesus. He doesn't become number one priority. Everything else becomes number one priority. But we'll still go to church every Sunday. We'll still raise our hands to sing songs to God. But Monday to Saturday, we're pursuing everything else other than Jesus. Or are we the good soil, the one who hears and actively obeys? See, the kingdom here is the kingdom of a word, a proclamation about God and God's purposes and God's actions. Jesus is saying there's this new reality that's going to be available. I'm bringing a new reality that you're going to have to hear what it is about this kingdom, and you're going to have to actively obey what this king is inviting us to do. The kingdom presents a challenge, not only for perception, but the challenge is the kingdom is about reorienting every part of our life to be subject to the king. And so people not only have to hear, we have to respond with lifestyle that changes and bears fruit. A lifestyle of obedience, a lifestyle of active obedience to a God who's revealed himself in the message of Jesus. See, this kingdom is at work. And it's established partly here as people respond with believing obedience that we inhabit this world now created by this proclamation of a kingdom. But as Matthew says in this passage, it's not just about hearing, but about understanding. See, here's the thing with Matthew. In verse 13, in verse 14, in verse 15, in verse 19, in verse 23, and in verse 51, Matthew has this obsession that Jesus is saying, do you understand? Do you understand? Because real hearing means understanding in a way that transforms one's identity, and that identity is evidence in obedience. Some of us, we give lip service to the very fact that we're Christians. Some of us give lip service to the fact that we follow God. But we have not allowed our entire identity to be transformed. And the evidence is whether or not we actively obey God. See, this kingdom of a word here, this parable is about receiving that word about the kingdom. Some people say it's about receiving the word of God, and I think there's partial truth to that. We have the full, total word of God now. But to be a disciple of this kingdom means that we're hearing and we're remaining focused on the message of the kingdom in such a way that we are defined now by that kingdom. That the key is that we're willing to listen and practice the discipline of listening and responding appropriately to what we have heard. And so what is it that we've heard? And so the tragedy here in this parable is that what we've heard can be lost. What we've heard can be undervalued. What we've heard can be received, but if it's really received, it has an effect on us. Some of us will receive it and implement it with great effect. But the warning is that we cannot be casual about it. It's an all-encompassing hearing. It's not a part hearing. We can't be a compartmentalized Christian person, a kingdom person. It's not about honoring Jesus on Sunday and living however I want Monday through Saturday. It's not about paying allegiance to the king, but then being willing to compromise everything about myself and that king to do things in the way antithetical to the king. It's not about sharing space with the cares of the world or the mundane thoughts of life. It's that hearing about the kingdom encompasses everything about me, and I'm actively obeying and submitting everything about me to him. What is some of the messages of this king? Well, really, it's to make God known and to make Jesus known. And faith, you know, is this temporary thing that we receive. It's this temporary thing, because if faith is unproductive, the reality is it may not be real. People receive it with joy, and they could still be hard-hearted. We receive it with joy sometimes, and we don't even show joy, much less any excitement about the king and who he is, or any excitement about Jesus. Sometimes I think, I don't know about your church, but are our church services as dull and drab because there's just no joy about who Jesus is and what he has done, and who God is and what he's all about? People can receive it with joy and be hard-hearted, but people can receive it with joy, but we don't even show any joy. Being, you know, a life that hears and obeys, again, it demonstrates a kingdom person. Hearing is about a productive living to God the Father, or else it's not really hearing. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about all the rules and regulations. That means you really don't hear. And I'm not talking about eternal security or whether or not you're going to heaven or hell, because that's not what it's about, because then you're not really hearing. It's about inadequate and underproductive hearing. The initial response without productive living is not really a faith. Jesus was challenging whether or not people were really hearing what he was saying. but not only hearing, but understanding. And that understanding was about obeying what the kingdom was going to be about. So when Jesus finished the parable, he obviously said these words, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus knows that not all of the ears are really ready to listen, hear, and obey. The question is, have we heard today? Are we like the good soil? After all, a life that hears and obeys demonstrates a kingdom person. So the kingdom of heaven would be like this: a person who hears and obeys. I invite you to take a look at yourself and a time to self-examine. Am I really a kingdom person? Is everything about my life reoriented, recalibrated, refocused, fixated completely on active obedience to God? If not, that's not the good soil. We have the privilege to continue in the great work of the sower. We have the privilege to continue in the great work of the sower to scatter seed as we go. We don't need to be concerned about where it's going. We just scatter it. The hope is that the word is received. But before we scatter it, I want us to really examine our own heart. Where are we in this soil? What soil are we? Where is that word of the kingdom in us? Because if it hasn't affected our hearing to full and complete obedience, then maybe we're not who we really think we are. And the reality is, only you and God can deal with that. So I want to just offer a time where we come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we know that Jesus gave this word to people who would hear and to people who wouldn't hear. And maybe, God, we have taken this and we've changed some of it to fit what we want today. But Lord, I pray that you take us back to what you're really challenging us about: a person who hears and obeys you. So I pray today that whomever is here listening to this now, that Lord, you would help us really examine where our life is with you. And in areas of great pride, I pray you would bring us down into areas of great humility. And in areas of great humility, I pray that you would raise us up to see Jesus again. That Lord, as we examine ourselves, examine our own heart, what kind of soil we are, I pray that you would remove from us all those things that may be there that are obstructing our ability to really see clearly who you say we are, how you define us, what soil you define us as today. But as we look at our lives and the actions and the ways we live our lives, may we be found faithful to be kingdom people who hear and obey your word, your kingdom purposes today. And if we haven't, Lord, offer to us again a period of forgiveness, repentance, and resubmission to King Jesus. So this we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.